This is the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries, and we're talking about the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory.
So, what kind of information can I help you with? See, the way this works is you tell me what intel or target you're after, and I give you a price. So stop wasting my time.
We hear the Empire has a bounty out for M-count targets.
Why do you want to know about that?
That's our business.
Welcome back, fellow Batchers. This is the Bad Batch podcast on TV Podcast Industries. And of course, we are talking about the 8th episode of Season 3, Bad Territory. I am one of your hosts, John.
I'm one of your other hosts, Derek. We are Chrisless this week.
We are Chrisless.
He couldn't unfortunately make it this time, but we do want to start this episode with an apology about last week's episode.
Yes, you do, don't
just,
you, Derek?
Just me and Chris. That's why he's not here. I banished Chris because he's a bad influence.
Yes, bad girls.
Yeah, we got a note from Sarah Flores who said, just listen to the podcast today. Great episode. One question, though. Y'all repeatedly said you thought the operative was Echo. I think you meant Tech. We also got some messages from Joe Herbis, Laisa, and Rocky Top Bill, all mentioning that as well. Yeah, so sorry about that on behalf of myself and Chris. We were talking kind of off mic when I said that the operative was Tech, and Chris convinced me that it was Echo, and I was going, yeah, is it Echo or is it Tech? And I couldn't remember. And we were
schoolboy era.
Late into the night, and I didn't have time to go back and fix it. Yeah. So, sincere apologies. Of course, you meant our fallen Tech is the
don't
possible.
Let, don't let Chris into your head.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm blaming Chris because he isn't here. I'm sure I'm at least 50% at fault.
Don't worry, fellow Batchers. Your point of accuracy and precision with all matters to do with the Bad Batch is back. It's me. As I get 100 things wrong.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
If John gets anything wrong. Don't set myself up too much. Exactly.
If John gets anything wrong, you can email him at feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com or pop on over to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TVPodcastIndustries and tag John in a post about
what
whatever he gets wrong.
I said and done. Oh no. But anyway, enough of our sincere apologies. Mm-hmm. In all seriousness, it was just a mistake that then bled through the episode. It was, of course, Tech, and our fellow Batchers are, of course, on the ball as mm-hmm. usual and picked that up. We will be discussing Echo when we mean Echo and Tech when we mean Tech. I hope.
You almost got it wrong there.
No, I didn't. But let us get on to our spoiler-filled discussion of Episode 8 mm-hmm. of this third series of The Bad Batch, Bad Territory. But before Derek regales us with the episode details, just a quick reminder, fellow Batchers, as always, our public service announcement. If you are new to the podcast and joining us for the first time, or even the first few times, if you've been listening to our coverage of The Bad Batch, please head on over to our website at tvpodcastindustries.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast on any Jedi or Sith podcast player of your choice. Of course, there is also the pub quiz over on the website as well.
Yep, all the questions for our Cantina quiz are up there at the moment. We'll add the 8th question after this episode goes out as well. You'll see it up there.
Indeed. And of course, we love your feedback and thoughts on all things to do with the Bad Batch mm-hmm. episodes. So please send in your thoughts, comments, theories, observations, or corrections, given what we started the episode with, to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com. You can also leave a voicemail over on our website, so head on over there. And of course, we are on Facebook. Just head on over to our group at facebook.com/groups/TVPodcastIndustries, where you can respond to our spoiler posts on all the episodes that we cover.
Absolutely. And also, while you're over on the website, you can subscribe to the main podcast feed, TV Podcast Industries, where you get access to all of our shows, almost 1,000 episodes of our coverage on the podcast, including most recently we're covering Invincible Season 2, Part 2. At the moment, we're halfway through that. And also the wonderful, epic Japanese set series Shogun, which we are about halfway through as well.
Yes. So head on over, fellow batchers, for sure. We've got some great stuff being published at the moment.
Yes.
Derek.
That sounded weird, sorry.
Yeah, I know, that does sound weird, but I guess it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Release.
There you go, release. There we go, much easier. Yes.
Derek, what are some of the episode details for Episode 8, Bad Territory?
Well, executive producers for the show, of course, are Brad Rao and Jennifer Corbett. This episode was written by Matt Mitnovitz, who we mention all the time as being the lead story editor for the show. This episode directed by Nate Villanueva, the third episode of this season and 15th episode of The Bad Batch so far.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely the core team involved in this episode. John, do you want to tell us what they gave us with your synopsis for The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 8, Bad Territory?
Sure. Friendly pirate Fee Genoa, who has been asked by the Bad Batch to make inquiries about the Empire's M-Count project, reports that bounty hunters have been hired to search for subjects featuring that special trait. Believing that Fennec Shand may know the answer, Hunter and Wrecker decide to seek her out, leaving Omega and Crosshair on Pabu. While Shand knows nothing herself, she refers them to another bounty hunter who might, in exchange for them helping her capture her current target, Syla Saris. After an arduous hunt, they bring Saris down, but Shand secretly betrays the Batch. On Pabu, Crosshair refuses to talk about the trauma he's endured at Tantis, which impairs his sniping skills. Omega helps him overcome his handicap by teaching him meditative techniques. Yes.
Yes. Taught her by Gunji, the Jedi Wookiee.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
I want to see Crosshair, because Crosshair, in fairness to him, you know, he succumbed to the technique.
Mm-hmm.
He closed his eyes, at least. I want in the next episode that he is doing downward dog. Uh-huh. He is doing cat-cow poses. And he's really just leaning in to the whole controlling his breathing,
mm-hmm.
the balance, the movement, you name it.
Becoming one with the Force, potentially.
Well, possibly. But I was just thinking we start more there? Yoga.
Yeah, but will we start there, John? Will we start there with our blaster point?
Yes, our first blaster point, number one. Yes, Crosshair's body problem. His neck is like a well-boiled piece of asparagus by the end of this episode, with the tutelage of Yoga Meister. That is Omega, after, as you said, learning it and being taught by mm-hmm. Gunji, the Jedi Wookiee. Right. So cool. Yeah. I loved saying that line. Absolutely. I just never thought I would ever say that about Star Wars.
Gunji, the Jedi Wookiee?
Well, no, just the yoga or meditative techniques, I guess. Okay. It's not technically yoga. And, of course, the Jedi do meditate. Mm-hmm. But, yes, it was just because they were sitting cross-legged.
Yeah.
Looking into the sunset, I thought this was very, very cool. But I kind of like this little mm-hmm. moment between Crosshair and
Omega. Oh, absolutely.
I think partly because, you know, they've built such a relationship and a bond because of being held there
mm-hmm.
on Tantis by Hemlock. So yeah, I really enjoyed that her sort of trying to draw... in effect, Crosshair's trauma out here to find out what's wrong with his hand that mm-hmm. has the shakes. And I did really like it as well that, you know, kind of Hunter prompts Omega to try and persuade Crosshair mm-hmm. to get his hand looked at.
Yeah.
You know, just because they've had that difficult relationship. It's just that little nod to Hunter sort of looking out for his crew. And in a sense, he's willing to do that for Crosshair now.
Yeah, and he kind of knows the stubbornness of Crosshair, that Crosshair's not going to do it on his own. He needs a little push, but knows he's not the right one to do it. Mika's going to be the one to do it. So I suppose the whole thing about this point, the Crosshair body problem itself, is him trying to solve this issue that he has with his hand. He's now having really major problems with his aim. It's causing him to not be able to hit targets. So because the two of them are left behind in Pabu, they can't be discovered because they're both being hunted down by the Imperials. We have the two of them left alone, and Omega encouraging Crosshair to go and get this checked by AZ, who does all the medical checks that he knows how to do, and then realizes potentially this could be something in his mind. I know some of our listeners were mentioning that the trauma that he'll have gone through with everything that he's been going through, the experimentation, plus all the other choices he's had to make, leaving the Empire, turning his back on the Bad Batch originally, and turning his back now on the Empire. All of those things are potentially causing this problem with his hand, that there is some additional issue, not a medical issue, that's causing
it. Well, like a trauma issue, almost like a PTSD type thing. And it's weird because I actually, up until now, I was thinking that it was some degenerative kind of condition coming from the testing and the control, you know, or the drugs being used to try and sort of, you know, hone him into a servant, a mindless servant of the Empire in terms of those specialist clones there, of which we think one of them is Tech. And not Echo.
Exactly, John. Exactly. Yeah. It's an interesting one. It reminds me of the TV show V from the 80s. I don't know whether you remember the show, John.
I do indeed.
But there was a time when a lot of the characters were being converted into supporters of the visitors, and the way that they learned how to tell who had changed sides was they were using their left hand when they used to use their right hand, or their right hand when they used to use the left hand. So the conversion technique was breaking them and changing the abilities in their hands. So exactly like yourself, I thought it potentially was the experimentation that was done by Hemlock that was causing this, but it could absolutely be trauma related. You know, he's gone through a huge amount. And one of the other things I really like about Crosshair specifically in this show, everything that they're talking about in the plans that they're making, the rest of the batch are making around him, every time they say anything to him, he's kind of going, who? So when Fee calls, he goes, who? When Omega says that she learnt it from Gunji on Kashyyyk, the home planet, he said, well, hang on a second, have you been to Kashyyyk?
Yeah.
He has missed so much from the point that he left the Bad Batch. He's not been
even
on their adventures.
Fennec Shand, exactly. Like, who?
Hang on a second.
It was really good. I thought it was a nice little sort of touch here to Crosshair. You know, this cold, pencil-y type figure is, you know, gradually becoming sort of melted a little by Omega. And I even kind of like that Batcher seems to be getting in on the act as well to try and help him. You know, Batcher recognizes that effectively Omega is close to Crosshair, has formed this bond, and is there sort of, in a sense, pestering Crosshair, but, you know, kind of encouraging him. I kind of liked the involvement of Batcher here, sort of, you know, nudging Crosshair.
Absolutely. Have you seen all the memes that are going around at the moment, which is that Crosshair is the dad that didn't want the pet in the first place, and the pet becomes his best friend? You know, it's exactly like that with Batcher. But I suppose there's an underlying seriousness below that, where Crosshair doesn't know everything, all the experiences that the Bad Batch have gone through together as they form that family unit. You know, back when it all started, of course, they were a fighting unit, but now they've become proper brothers. Now they've become a family, and with Omega being part of that over the adventures that they've had over the last three seasons, the seriousness there is that Crosshair's missed out on all of that and all of those moments they've had together as a group, just a fighting unit. I really enjoyed this part of the episode. I think it's my favorite part of the episode. I know there's some other big moments in there, but I actually enjoyed a kind of a moment to step back with Omega and Crosshair and kind of confront the issues that they have faced, and Crosshair specifically has faced. So hopefully we'll be able to get to the bottom of his trauma and sort him out so he's able to become a productive member of the Bad Batch again.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. On to blaster point number two.
Absolutely.
The return of Fennec Shand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ming-Na Wen is back as Fennec Shand once again in Star Wars, played in live action,
like this.
Of course, and now playing it in the Bad Batch. She has been in the Bad Batch before. She was back on one of the episodes earlier on in season 1, I believe.
Yeah.
So back again here in season 3. Just love hearing her voice.
Absolutely. I thought it was really good to sort of reconnect with this bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, very astute, really, of Hunter and Wrecker, effectively, that Amiga is not coming with them. Mm-hmm. You need to hunker down and stay low on Pabu with Crosshair, because you're the one with the target being effectively communicated throughout the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, especially, you know, coming on the back of, you know, her appearance here in the episode, where she tells them that bounty hunters have been sent out across the galaxy to pick up people with a certain M count. And of course, we know Amiga is one of the central people that they're looking for. So they may have passed that on to bounty hunters specifically to look for Omega, but they also could have put her on the list of people with IM counts. You know?
Yeah, so, well, certainly now that the Hemlock knows that she does have a high M count. I like the little nod back to Tech as well, because of their relationship, you know, where she just says, well, Tech was the fountain of knowledge here, effectively. And you do wonder that Tech may at least have had some kind of inkling as to what that M count meant. And whereas really throughout this whole episode, even with going to Fennec Shand to try and find out more about what the M count project is, it's actually really quite fuzzy for everyone. You know, in Fennec Shand does not know what that means, but she might know a bounty hunter that does. But before she is going to lead the Bad Batch, or at least Hunter and Wrecker, to her contact, they need to pay her through doing this job to capture Silas Eris.
Yes, they do. I think the reason why Fennec Shand says she doesn't know is because she hasn't taken up one of those jobs herself, so she's never gotten the details, other than she knows there are jobs that are out there from the Empire. So that's quite interesting. I also love the full name for Silas Eris, which is Silas Eris, the Slayer of Ordo Eris. That is so hard to say when you have the whole thing together. But it's just a good little mouthful that she calls out. That's his title. So,
well, that's it. Yeah. And a bit of a kind of a Bug's Life, or almost a praying mantis type figure.
Yeah.
That's on the run for having stolen a lot of credits from some very high up people.
Yes.
So he is sort of hunkered down on his home planet, or a planet that he knows at least very, very well.
Yes, he does.
And has been dispatching people that have been sent to get him, because he knows this world much better than the people sent to bring him back to the people he owes money to.
Yeah, exactly. A little Easter egg in there for gamers, for people who've played the Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order games. Ordo Eris and the Haxian Brood, who Silas Eris has stolen from. They were both created for Jedi Fallen Order and for Jedi Survivor. So
very good.
So it's another little tie-in to the video games. I still am wondering whether we'll see Cal Kestis at some point.
It'd be very cool in one of these shows. It'd be very cool if we did. I did also like the fact that, you know, Fennec Shand here, you know, you will get the info, but you don't get any of the payment from this bounty.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, that's your payment to me in order to get the info that you need. And I mean, ultimately, in the end as well, they don't get it.
They get nothing.
No.
They get absolutely nothing. She gets their experience. She gets their abilities. She specifically wants Wrecker and Hunter, because Hunter has the ability to track, which she needs to find this guy. And Wrecker has his explosives ability, which she needs as well. So she needs the tough guy from him. So she gets to use all their abilities, find her target, and doesn't give any payment to them at all. And we find that there's a twist. She has turned on them as well. So,
well, yeah, to some extent. I mean, I just love how cagey Hunter is.
Yes.
And even Wrecker is cagey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a moment where the camera, you know, really sort of stays with Wrecker, and this is the point where you would kind of think he might blurt something out inadvertently. But the two of them really do keep their cards very close to their chest when Fennekshand is, you know, asking how they lost Omega. I mean, at the moment, she's kind of, I guess, the working assumption for her is that they have lost them in the same way that they're kind of baiting her by saying that she managed to let Omega slip through her fingers.
Yes.
But you can sense she's probing to see whether that's actually the case, but they're not giving her anything. I kind of really liked that caginess and suspicion, and rightly so, that they have towards Fennekshand.
Yeah, I think she starts out going, how is the kid? And then proceeds with questioning them about how they lost her. So she tries probing first to see if Omega's back with them, and then and then goes down the track of she's not. So maybe if somebody had been a bit more loose-lipped with her, she may already know that Omega's there with them. So so that was quite good. Yeah, I really liked that part of it. How about the I'd say the big action set piece in the episode, or the big set piece on this planet, which is a big massive swamp that they go to. It's like in the Florida Glades, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit like Florida Glades from what I can remember from... What was the TV show where they were on those hover... boats that they have in the Everglades.
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about. Was it Gentle Ben or something? Was it something
I
that
don't
had...
know. I can't remember. I remember there I feel being like there a was... lot of them on TV back in the 80s that I used to watch.
But I feel like there was an animal protagonist
I think
in it somewhere.
It is, but was it a dog or anyway?
Just Lassie? Maybe?
No, it wasn't Lassie.
Was it Crocky? The crocodile?
It could have been.
Or the gator, it would be a gator, of course, in Florida, right?
But I liked this setting. I thought it was really good. I like the idea, you know, that Fennekshand saying that Saris is a slippery mark.
Mm-hmm.
I did love the conversation, again, just between Fennekshand and Wrecker, where he's like, what's in the water? And Fennec says... Let's just say I'd never go in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, she says, get in the water. And Wrecker's just there going, but you said never go in the water. Uh-huh. I just love this kind of little, it's a typical kind of Wrecker conversation. Mm-hmm. But I like always these conversations that Wrecker has. It's very simple, but it's just very logical. And it's like, but they have to because there's these mines that need deactivating, and then that they kind of get attacked by a whole rake of sort of alligator type beasts.
Yes, space gators.
Space gators, exactly. before they've even gotten to the hideout where Syla is hunkering down.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of liked all. I kind of like these action sequences. I like that we have Hunter tracking again. I thought that was a nice little touch because sometimes you forget that they have that. And I liked how Fennec said, well, you know, you're the tracker. You're the munitions expert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that kind of reminder of their skill sets, which sometimes you just forget about. You know?
I know. It always feels like Hunter's special skill is that he's the leader of the group. Doesn't it? That's kind of it. But I love them showing that he's able to see things from very far distances or able to pick up and track creatures coming before anybody else can. You know, there's that moment before those gator creatures attack that he calls it out to Fennekshand. She takes out her sniper rifle, looks through the sniper scope and still can't see them. So a very far distance away, she catches them afterwards. So you know, calling out that Hunter has this ability that he's able to track from far distances. So I thought that was really good.
Yeah. And I mean, Syla as well, once he's being sort of fought by Hunter and Wrecker, he can certainly take quite a lot of stun.
Yes,
shots from the blasters.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
quite resilient. I think it must be the sort of praying mantis type armor that he's got on.
It must be.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately they get their mark, or Fennec does, and like you say, then it doesn't go quite to plan. I think that brings us on to our blaster point three. Yes, our third point, muffled chattering. Indeed. Who is Fennekshand talking to?
Yeah.
But I mean, even before that, it's just they get nothing. They get no info. They get no bounty hunter contact that maybe has been taking some of these targets, which in and of itself is a risky move.
Yes.
You know, because there's the risk that they will know about Omega and they'll have the mark, or even about them, because I'm sure it's not just Crosshair and Omega. Yeah. They are also, you know, going to be in the communiques being given and passed around by the Empire.
Yeah.
And
known associates, I think.
Exactly.
They'd be called, right?
Known associates.
But you're right. They've also defected from the Imperial Army, of course. So they will be people that are wanted across the galaxy in various ways.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and Fennec even says, you know, I'm going to deliver my mark in terms of Sylas Saris to my client before I can get you the info. So she's actually going to make the money before she goes to find the contact. And I love, just because of the casualness beforehand, where, you know, she says, you can either trust me or fight me. And Hunter and Wrecker in this moment, you know, they're forced into having to trust her.
Yeah.
I mean, she just closes the door anyway.
Exactly.
And then we have that moment where she is onto some contact of hers through the hologram. And she does say that you can track them down easy enough. I'll send you what I have from their file.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting, because I was wondering, she was employed by Nala Se originally to get Omega.
Mm.
And I was wondering, oh, could it be Nala Se? Possibly. You know,
I don't think she's available for phone calls.
But she's
calls,
not. She's in prison at the moment.
Yeah.
Plus, she would know about them anyway.
Intergalactic communications, not phone calls. Sorry, that was a slip of the tongue.
So it's probably not a Kaminoan in that sense.
So if we take the only piece of information that we have from Fennec Shand as being truthful, that potentially another bounty hunter has the information, I think that she is reaching out to another bounty hunter in the galaxy. So there are a bunch of bounty hunters out there. We've met some of them during the time in the Clone Wars. Obviously, the most well-known bounty hunter is still out there, Boba Fett. So is there any connection with Fennec Shand? I'm trying to think back to the live-action appearance of Fennec Shand when she is working side-by-side with Boba Fett in the Book of Boba Fett. And I can't remember whether Fennec Shand knew him before she met him in Mandalorian or not, or had they crossed paths before. So I'm not sure if it's Boba Fett. The only reason I'm saying that is because Boba Fett is the alpha of the clones, and Omega obviously is the Omega of the clones. So I feel like there's going to be some point that they should
absolutely
meet up. And this would be a possible way of the two of them meeting up, that he would be brought on board. But also he could be brought in by all bounty hunters being sent out to try and find Omega. So he could just be brought in a different way. So maybe it's not Fennec Shand. The other person we know that's coming up later on in the series is Asajj Ventress.
Well, that was the one who I thought could possibly be on the other end of the hologram.
Yeah.
Just because the trailer for The Bad Batch had Asajj Ventress, and she, you know, did become a bounty hunter as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly that's a great possibility. Yeah. I like the possibility of Boba Fett as well. I think that could be a really nice sort of link in.
Yeah.
Certainly, as you say, to the live action hookups that they had really there in Mandalorian.
I love the idea of bringing in IG-88 and Dengar and Bosk and Boba Fett and Fennec Shand all converging on the planet with Asajj Ventress trying to be the one to take in Omega.
That could be really good as well.
That could be a reason for the destruction of Pabu at some point, if all of these bounty hunters converge on there trying to take back Omega and let nothing stand in their way. There could be a big battle on Pabu.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, really intriguing ending. Yeah. It's not unsurprising that Fennec Shand is being a little bit duplicitous here.
Don't trust her.
But again, you know, it's interesting to see who that will be. I'm hoping in the next episode.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's quick.
I'm sure it will be, but you just never know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anything else from the episode that we haven't talked about, John, at all?
No notes from me. Derek, what about yourself?
Just one quick note, because I didn't mention it earlier on. I do love when Omega's trying to explain who Fijinoa is to Crosshair, when he says, "Who's that? I've never heard of her before." And, you know, Omega throws her hands up in the air and describes her as the liberator of ancient wonders, and just gets a completely blank look from Crosshair and goes, "Okay, she's a pirate." And so trying to use Fijinoa's original description of herself to try and explain who she is to Crosshair, and it just doesn't work at all. It's a pirate, I'm sorry, but she's nice. She's a friend. I like that. Overall, though, John, what did you think of the episode?
In the spirit of Mark Spector, I'd give this 3.5 later gaiters out of 5.
Oh, very good. Moon Knight, for those of you who haven't heard those podcasts.
Like, I really like this episode, but I think ultimately this felt the most episode of the week. And I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
But it was also because it felt like nothing had been achieved. It was a romp in a swamp, you know. I loved the suspicion of Hunter and Wrecker towards Fennec Shand. I loved Crosshair and Omega, you know, trying to sort of work through his reluctance to sort of face up to his hand and why that might be, and the intrigue at the end. So it was a good episode for me. So I'd give it 3.5 later gaiters out of 5.
Very good.
Derek, what about yourself?
Romp in the Swamp sounds like a WWE pay-per-view event.
It does, doesn't it?
I think I liked this episode again. It's really good to see Ming-Na Wen back
as well.
Really good. I always enjoy her.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's always with that character, you're trying to work out how is she going to rip them off this time. You know, that's kind of what you're expecting throughout the episode, because we've been watching the show for 3 seasons and we've seen the character so much. You know she's not going to be trustworthy, but they have no other option, so that makes sense. But I think this, for me, and it's totally a personal thing, I think it kind of fell under the weight of my own anticipation for the episode.
I think you're right there as well.
Yeah, but it's a totally personal, because we talked earlier on in the season that we did get screeners for the first 8 episodes of the show, and we didn't get the chance to watch all 8 of them. We only got the chance to watch up to episode 6, and then we had to record our podcast about 6 and 7 after the episodes came out, and we hadn't seen episode 8. And because I knew that 8 of the 15 episodes had been given to us as screeners, I was going, well, I haven't seen that one yet, so they must have cut it off at episode 8 of 15, because there's a massive cliffhanger in this. There must be a massive moment in this where maybe we do get to see Asajj Ventress return, or maybe we do get a big twist where somebody arrives in the episode that we don't know is coming and it appears in episode 8. So I was expecting that throughout this episode. And as you say, John, this is a perfectly acceptable episode of the week for The Bad Batch, with a massive guest star in it, but it doesn't further the plot hugely. They start out the episode wanting to know what the M Count is about and what the Empire are looking for through the bounty hunters, and they end the episode still not knowing. So, because it didn't move it along, and I was expecting, because we had the screeners for up to this point, I feel it wasn't as big an episode as I wanted it to be. So the second time watching it through, knowing what was going to happen, I enjoyed it a lot more, and definitely enjoyed our time spent with Omega and Crosshair. It's something that I really do enjoy when they get to sit back and have moments to develop those characters as well. So always really good. So really enjoyed it. Looking forward to next week. And I guess, you know, this episode could become massively essential for the rest of the season, depending on who Fennec is calling at the end of the episode.
Yeah, on her holophone.
On her holophone, yes.
Exactly. I don't know what you call them, I guess.
I don't know. I can't remember. Interstellar communication device?
Yeah, I guess something like that. But great stuff. I think, fellow batchers, and of course, fellow quizzers, we should move on to our 8th question in our Cantina quiz. Just a reminder to all those who want to get involved in the Cantina quiz, please send your answers through to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com at the end of the series. So keep a good record of your answers to each and every question that we give on each episode of the podcast covering The Bad Batch.
And remember, you can get your hands on the 5 Bad Batch Funko Pops that we have available here in our very home. We'll be sending those out to the lucky winner of our Cantina quiz at the end of the season.
Yes, and as well, you can, if you don't catch the enunciation of the questions on the podcast, you can head on over to tvpodcastindustries.com where you can go to our pub quiz section to get the latest questions. But it is episode 8, so it does mean we are on question 8.
Mm.
And here we go. How many stun shots does it take to stun Syla Saris?
Ooh, very good, John. John gave a little nod to that it's more than one earlier on.
Stop giving clues.
It's a little clue. You gave the clue. You said it took a lot, so it can't be one.
Yes. And it's just to clarify, it's not just all the stun shots that have been fired. It's the ones that we see ultimately take him out.
Interesting. Very good.
You know, because there's quite a lot of blasting going on in this scene. But it is ultimately, how many stun shots does it take to stun Syla Saris?
I can see some answers coming in going 683
right,
shots.
Exactly.
shots throughout this episode. Okay, the ones that took him out. Excellent. As John mentioned, pop on over to the website of tvpodcastindustries.com if you missed any of the questions earlier on this season. They're all available under the pub quizzes section of the website. And get your answers in at the end of the season to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com where you can also send your feedback to us for any of the episodes. And we have some feedback in for last week's episode, John.
We do. First up, we have an email from Russell Hooper who says, listening to the Bad Batch episode 6 and 7 podcast, can you clone a clone? Yes. Will there be issues in later generations? Probably. Head of the Valley syndrome, I think, is what Russell is referring to there.
Oh, right.
And I think that's... Russell continues, I think that's how we got the defective clones that make up the Bad Batch.
Mm.
Star Trek The Next Generation addressed this in Season 1. I get that Trek is different from Wars in their application of science.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the fathers of sci-fi from the 50s and 60s and before have addressed this too. Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Russell, for the rundown. Yeah, I think Dolly the Sheep ultimately had further clones made... of herself, and she in a sense was also a clone of an original. So I think Dolly the Sheep is dead now, so yes.
Well,
R.I.P. Dolly.
I would assume so. She was cloned in like late 80s, wasn't she? So
I can't remember now, but I just remember there being something on the news to say that, you know, the first animal that had been cloned had, you know, given up the ghost.
Right. Right, and you had a phrase there to describe the issues that a clone could experience in future generations. What was that?
Oh, yeah, I said head of the valleys.
Head of the valleys, okay.
I think it's more a colloquialism. It's kind of, you know, mountainous regions, they're kind of hemmed in, so there's not much to do other than, I guess, go through the family tree. So, yeah, and then it starts to get a bit difficult.
Right.
Not so much now in the age of modern sort of transport, you know, trains go up to the head of the valley these days. But I mean, like long ago, you know, more isolated.
I thought it was a sci-fi terminology
for
cloning that's gone wrong.
It wasn't.
All right. Not what I was thinking at all. Okay. Yeah. But I'm sure, yes, over time, if you clone from clones, you could have defects in the future. That's I think you're right. That's probably where we got the Bad Batch. But the question that we were discussing last week with Chris was, obviously Jango Fett gave his original DNA to clone from to get the clones, get the clone army. But an entire army of millions and millions of clones being cloned from just that DNA sample didn't seem like something
absolutely
that was possible or even probable.
So, I think the classic one is the haemophilia. You know, so I guess it's also the royal syndrome, certainly back in the day, where they would intermarry between sort of family members across the European sort of royal houses.
Exactly.
And so you had haemophilia going through the royal houses of Europe because of the genetic defect.
Yes. Yeah.
Being passed on. But that's not really cloning as such.
It's not. No.
And neither is head of the valleys in the end. But effectively, sharing of genetic information is not always that great.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd presume science might be able to clean that up a little bit. And the Kaminoans had the... great cloning abilities, which is slightly different.
Exactly. But thanks so much, Russell.
Yeah, thanks, Russell. On this week's episode, Darth Von Doom says, "Greetings, troopers. The animation and backdrops are just amazing for this show. The bayou scenes in particular. I was pleased to hear Wanda Sykes and Ming-Na Wen here. However, don't ever trust Fennec Shand, especially when she leads you on a gator-filled excursion in the bayou. Omega impresses me as she ages. I hope she gets to help Crosshair and eventually meet her brother, Boba, aka Alpha. Perhaps Fennec is arranging that in her final scene. Although they are both bounty hunters at this time, I prefer Boba to Cad Bane. Watch your six, troopers. Darth Von Doom." Cad Bane is also a really good possibility, Victor.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, that's who we've seen before, but they weren't on very good terms, Cad Bane and Fennec Shand. They were battling against each other, as far as I remember, the last time we saw the two of them on screen together. So,
well, I think bounty hunter relationships are very transactional and probably, you know, if you're stepping on their turf or potentially swiping some of the bounty, yeah. I guess there's a lot of distrust here. Yep. It always seems to be the way with bounty hunters.
It does.
But I totally agree with you as well. Darth Von Doom, you know, these scenes, these backdrops, the animation is just absolutely incredible. I mean, actually, Derek showed me this sort of these two stills of the planet from the last episode where the clone hideout was at the top of that outcrop. Between the Clone Wars, where it also featured, and now, and you just see the additional layering of sort of the clouds, just the rendering of it, how much it's moved on. And I mean, I think this animation is just phenomenally good.
Absolutely, yeah. That was from last week's episode, where it was the planet that they were in on the first Clone Wars movie versus how it had been rendered now, I suppose, in the weekly episodes for the Bad Batch. You know, it's amazing how far the technology's come on, and it's interesting. You could look at a new episode and think back to what they used to look like and go, nothing's changed. They're still the same character models, but there's such a significant advancement in the technology and the animation that they're using now. That this show is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We are covering Invincible at the moment, another animated show, and you can tell there's a different style to the shows. You know, Invincible's not a show that is all about the animation. It's got its own style, whereas here on The Bad Batch, they are paying attention to every single corner and every single detail in the episode. It's really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Darth Von Doom.
Absolutely, thank you.
Over on Facebook, Dr. Bob Phillips says, "Finally, there's at least a tiny window into therapy for the Batch, even if it is via meditation and Crosshairs sitting cross-legged. Well done, Wookiees." The Heart of Darkness trek with the unreliable Shand was a nice balance to that, with croc punching and hydrofoils for extra joy. Does this put Batch success up to 60% for season 3?
Oh, very good. Yeah, I know we were commenting in the past on how often they fail missions and don't get their objective. I think the entirety of season 2, almost every episode, they didn't achieve their goal. Here, I suppose, they achieve Fennec Shand's goal, but didn't achieve their own goal.
That's true.
This is almost a failed mission here, isn't it?
Their own goal was not achieved at all.
Yeah. Or was it a bit of an own goal?
It could be.
Sorry.
But I'm glad that you're keeping the percentages there, Dr. Bob.
Absolutely. I feel like they've gotten a bit more successful this season. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, Dr. Bob. Russell Hooper on this episode says, "Clones in the Bayou. I can hear Creedence Clearwater Revival's Born in the Bayou right now. Not a great episode, but not bad. 6 out of 10 for me. Nice to see Fennec Shand. Now I'm waiting to see Din Djarin, if he's old enough just now. Did you catch Wrecker losing his temper when their bounty went underground? I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. The long-term story of this episode will be Omega helping Crosshair heal. You've probably discussed this by the time you read this on air, but who was Fennec talking to? I'm thinking Asajj Ventress."
Yep. Ooh, yeah.
Another possibility. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very strong one, to be honest. Although I also do like the idea of Boba Fett as Victor Von Doom has said as well. Yeah. So,
but Din Djarin, just to Russell's question, Din Djarin would be quite young. Mando takes place after the end of Return of the Jedi. So I think he's a bit younger than Fennec Shand is in when they meet up. So I think he'd be too young. I don't think he was running around as a Mandalorian pre A New Hope.
Yeah, I'm not too sure it would be Din Djarin myself. But I'm certainly going with Asajj Ventress, and I'm hoping for Boba Fett.
Mm. And Boba Fett would only be early 20s, maybe, at this stage. You know, because it's only a couple of years after the Clone Wars, of course, which is the last time we saw Boba Fett. So he'd be reasonably young, but I think he could probably be around at this time.
Yeah, and I don't think I did catch Wrecker losing his temper, actually.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Not as such. I think there was a general frustration I heard being sort of bandied around by both Hunter and by Wrecker, because, you know, Fennec is right. This is a slippery mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why, you know, she realized she needed a team to do this.
Absolutely.
Not just herself. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But good stuff. Thanks, Russell.
Thanks, Russell. I got some more feedback on Facebook from Lisa, who said, tried to meditate with Omega and Crosshair, but my legs ended up tied in a knot and I ended up looking more like Batcher, but he had a more contented look on his face. This comment is primarily in reference to last week's episodes, when Crosshair told Hauser that loyalty meant something to him, but with the Empire, it didn't go both ways. I immediately thought of Agent Callus sitting on the edge of his bed after the Ghost Crew rescued Zeb from the Ice Moon of Geonosis. The Ghost Crew was so excited to see Zeb, but the Empire ignored Callus when he was rescued. That was in The Honourable One, Season 2 of Rebels. Crosshair and Callus seem to be on similar arcs of redemption. They even both sent out messages warning the Bad Batch or the Ghost Crew about the Empire's plans to capture them. This season of the Bad Batch has been emotionally rewarding and draining at the same time. Thoroughly enjoy listening to your podcasts. Thanks, Lisa. Oh, I love that connection that you've drawn there between Callus and Crosshair. Callus is such a good character with a great arc throughout that series of Rebels. Is really, really interesting. But yeah, that's a really nice nod. And I wonder, was it on the mind of the writers when they were thinking about Crosshair's arc throughout the series, The Bad Batch? Really, really interesting idea. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, I wasn't sure whether I'd be able to meditate like Omega or Crosshair as well. I guess their character designs give them more flexible legs than I probably would be able to get either. Good stuff. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks so much for listening. Also, we got some feedback in from Lisa Lois, who said, I don't like talking negatively about Star Wars because there are so many loud voices of that out there already. But I would like to think I veer on a more constructive note when I say just how disappointed I am by how they sidelined Echo. I don't just say this because he's my favourite, but because his backstory and character has a lot that they could tap into that would fit in thematically with the stuff they're tackling on the show. Most specifically when it comes to Crosshair and handling his trauma from being a prisoner being experimented on. Echo, too, was a prisoner of the Separatists via the Techno Union, who experimented on him to weaponize him and turn him against his own brothers. I just feel that interactions with him and Crosshair will add a different emotional layer to the show. Plus, considering this is the final season, I really hoped the crew would come together more often than be apart. I understand it's Echo's choice to join Rex in his ventures, and it's one of the many things I love him for. But yeah, I just wish they found a way to weave him and his story into the core team's story. Thanks for that, Lindsay. Yeah, there's no issue at all with any kind of constructive criticism on the show. I know exactly what you mean, though. There is a lot of people shouting out there with just negative thoughts on Star Wars. So always difficult to join their ranks, even when you have a really good point like this one. You know, I think it's a really good call out. Again, similar to Laissa talking about Agent Callus in Rebels, this story of Echo and what happened to him, because he was a clone who was experimented on and became a member of the Bad Batch. He kind of sits a bit separately to them, but they have always treated him like a member of their team, and he is another one of the group. I would say don't worry too much. We've still got another 7 episodes left of this series, and as we've been questioning before, you know, there could potentially be another series spinning off of the Bad Batch when their story is finished. I wonder what that means. It's going to be the adventures following Echo and Rex, and that's why he's being kept back, so we see more of him in the next season. That could be a way, or in the next animated show, that may be a way to bring him in. But like you, I do really hope that we get to see the full team, as many of them as we can, back together for as many of the rest of the episodes. So let's hope now. We've still got a few more episodes to play out that story.
And finally, Joe Herbers says, always happy for Ming-Na Wen to appear, but this wasn't a great episode. Why would they think bounty hunters know what M-Count means? They're just paid to capture particular people. The Empire isn't going to tell hardly anyone about why they want these particular people. Why in a universe with speeders of various kinds would they take a boat?
that's an interesting point about why they take a boat. I think it is just to set up that bayou or swamp situation. I think it just each planet will have their own methods of transport, right? So here on this planet, lots of water around, so they get them on a boat. I'd say that's more of a design decision.
As
opposed to having speeders, because the deserts have the speeders and the water has the boats, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's having that platform, I guess. But I mean, it kind of was like a speed of boat, because I think they were just going purposefully going slow because of the nature of their target of Silas.
So, and the mines.
Yeah, and the mines. Well, there's the mines as well.
Yeah.
And maybe I think to your point around, you know, that the Empire isn't going to tell hardly anyone about something like the M count.
Yeah. They don't need to know.
They don't need to know, but this particular bounty hunter does, which again leads or lends itself to it possibly being Asajj Ventress.
See, I don't think they would tell the bounty hunters at all about why they want the person with the M count. They don't need to know that. What these guys are looking for is a way back to Tantus. So if there are bounty hunters that have been that have captured people with the high M count and are taking them for delivery to someone that works for Tantus,
well, there's that as well.
I think that might put them on the trail back to finding Tantus. So I think it might be that.
That's true. Yes.
Because from my understanding, at least from watching a couple of seasons of Mando, you get a puck, you get your mission, and you're not given too much information beyond that. So here's a mission that involves a person with a high M count. Go find them, go pick them up and bring them to this location, I think is all the information they may give to the bounty hunters. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to see in next week's episode.
That's true.
I may be completely wrong on that, but that's the way I took it, that it was just those particular types of missions are highlighted because the person has a high M count, and then maybe this will give the information for the team as to how they can get back to Tantus, and that'll lead them to why the Empire wants Omega.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess. But
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Brilliant stuff. Thanks so much to everyone for your feedback.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Please keep sending it in. Keep emailing us to feedback@tvpodcastindustries.com or popping over to our Facebook group. Join us over there at facebook.com/groups/TVPodcastIndustries. We love having new people join us.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course, please share the podcast, because sharing the podcast is, of course, sharing the love.
Yes.
You can also as well support us through your feedback, which is great, mm-hmm. as well as over on patreon.com/TVPodcastIndustries or buymeacoffee.com/TVPI.
Absolutely. And keep sharing the podcast, because we always say something like our coverage of Star Wars, The Bad Batch. There are hundreds and hundreds of podcasts about Star Wars. If you like our podcast, share it along with your friends, share it along with other people that like Star Wars and are watching The Bad Batch. We really enjoy doing this, but we always want to find other batchers if we can find them out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, thank you so much, fellow batchers, as always, for joining us. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with our chat about Star Wars, The Bad Batch, Episode 9, The Harbinger, on March the 27th. We will also be back with the next episode of the ultra-violent adult animation of Invincible Season 2.
Yes, we just released the 6th episode of Season 2 of Invincible this week. 2 more to go in the second half of Season 2, and that's it for this season of Invincible. We are also covering, as I mentioned, Shogun. We released Episode 5 this week, releasing Episode 6 next week, which is another biggie. So Episode 5, halfway through the 10-episode epic show of Shogun. So come join us for that if you're interested in also ultra-violent adult drama set in the 1600s Japan.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Samurais inspired some of Star Wars, didn't they?
Certainly did.
So there you go. Something for everybody.
We had Star Wars Visions as well.
Yes, you did.
Kind of a lot of, I think, Japanese and Korean art or animation studios mm-hmm. being involved in those as much as other animation studios from around the world as well. So yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us. Talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thank you so much, fellow batchers, for joining us as always. Until next time, keep watching, keep listening, and of course, keep being bad.
Bye.
Bye.